Robot Scott and Todd. April 2024. It's April 11th. For those of you who don't frequent casinos and know what yo means. Thursday evening here, Todd.
What does yo mean?
It means 11.
Other than
yo, I don't know why 11? It means 11. Yes. If you're in a casino and you say yo, 12? I don't know. And
holla means
what's cracking is 13. No, I don't know. But if I bet $11 at a poker table and I just go yo, everybody understands what it means. It's you normally see it on craps, like you throw. You say $10 on the yo.
Cruising is 16. I'm just making random phrases.
Cruising. No, that's not how it works. But anyway, for yo 24. Todd, I forget what day it was already. Monday. Wait. I want to do these things. I have three things I want to talk about today. I'm going to do them chronologically. So let me say beep.
Okay.
Beep. We're going to back up a day. We're going to back up about 13 hours.
Beep. Sure.
And let's give it the conversation and the emphasis it deserves. The Curb Your Enthusiasm series finale, reportedly, was Sunday night.
Wait.
Spoiler alert.
13 hours. It happened like
13 hours back from the other event I was going to discuss first, but I'm backing up 13 hours in time. Gotcha. Hint as to what I was going to talk about first. We'll talk about that second. Curb Your Enthusiasm series finale.
Basketball, are we?
No, we're not going to talk about college basketball. All right, you know what? I'll back up 6 hours before that. Let's talk about women's college basketball. Did you watch any of those games over the weekend?
I did. Father of two daughters. USC game.
Okay. Unfortunately, after the first half, it wasn't really competitive. But that was the game on
the second half.
USC,
because I didn't realize it was on, and then I saw an alert on my phone. I was like, oh, I'll watch this. So I watched the second half.
Second half wasn't.
I know everybody likes Caitlin Clark. She was definitely trying to pull some hero ball there. I was like, I mean,
she was doing a lot of chucking.
She's a great shooter, but I was like, come on.
Yeah, she was shooting too much.
You're taking
the
Dame Lillard shots. Like, if you got to take those shots from a point of strength, not a point of weakness.
She took several logo shots in the second half, but I'll tell you, you missed the first half. She made a couple of those in the first half. They were not saying they weren't ill-advised.
Too, I think.
They were still
ill-advised. But I was like, yeah, this is not the best plan to get your team back in the game.
Yeah. It got a little bad towards the end.
Taller players, based on what I saw from USC, had sort of like some twin tower action going.
It wasn't twin towers. It was that one chick was a monster. I heard she's only 6'7". It looks like she was 7'4". She was fucking huge with the purple hair. She was huge. I don't know why she didn't have 30 boards. Cordova, I think her name was. She's from Brazil, I know. She should have had more rebounds than she had. And I think she had like 16. Yeah.
I mean, if DeAndre Ayton wants
she's
to be
a beast.
Nicknamed Dominatin', he should give her that name because she for sure was Dominatin'.
Yeah, she was huge on the inside. Couldn't make a shot to save her life, but she was huge on the inside.
She had one or two of them. She was better than that skinny white girl that was flubbing every layup.
She could only make it from 3 feet in. But yeah, the skinny, the white girl whose name I can't remember was, the worst version. Like the version that
I mean, she was a good ingredients like center for that other girl. She would put up a shitty layup and then let the Brazilian woman follow it in.
Get the rebound and put it back in. Yeah,
easy
for sure.
Back.
But yeah, I will say I watched, Jamie and I actually watched some of the game Friday night, which was the far more entertaining game, which was Iowa versus UConn. And it was legitimately exciting. I've never wanted to, had any reason to, or really ever watched women's college basketball before for more than 30 or 40 seconds. But we watched most of that game on Friday night, and it was really entertaining. And
it was good.
And we watched the game Sunday as well, less entertaining. Again, once the second half started. Apparently USC has been doing that all season. They start off really hot in the second half and just kind of essentially shut the door. I mean, they didn't blow them out of the water, but it was basically over halfway through the third quarter, as far as I'm concerned. They came out to a big lead. And like you said, they had, you know, on average, they had a 3 or 4 inch advantage on every other player for Iowa. And it just, it was too much at that point in time. But yeah, I think it was, you know, some of the numbers say at its peak, there were 24 million people watching that game, which the
yeah,
record.
There were more people watching the women's final than the men's, according to the.
Than the NBA finals. Or the men's final. Yeah, that's right. The men's got to like 17 million.
Yeah. I mean, but I think there are a couple of things. obviously, game was good. I think the women's had some really compelling storylines.
Yes.
I'm not trying to take anything away from the women's game. I think it's great that there's this attention to women's basketball. But I think also the men's tournament
here comes
was kind of like meh this year. Like the
it was
not like the highest quality. And again, that's fine. That's like there's going to be ups, ebbs and flows. I hope the enthusiasm for the women's tournament continues. And it is a battle back and forth for like who gets the most viewership. That'd be great. But I don't think this is like, you can't have like a really good year for one and like a so-so year for the other and be like, the tide has turned. It's like, okay, maybe it has.
People saying
great,
that?
But I'm not, well, I think there's a lot of enthusiasm for the women's tournament this year and just like all the excitement around it. Obviously, Caitlin Clark's been getting a lot of publicity as like this great shooter and stuff. So they have, I think that brought a lot of attention to the game this year.
100%.
Her play and just, I mean, this is the first time I've ever heard just general chat about the women's tournament, which is crazy that it's fucking 2024. And that's the first time that like people are talking about it. Again, I know people watch the tournament every year. I'm not trying to disparage people who have been fans, but I'd say general people like knowing that it's happening and knowing that there's like buzz in the air around it. I don't recall that ever happening before.
No.
Just like I don't recall there ever being buzz around WNBA, really. Like if this year the WNBA finals ticked up like 10 ratings points as like a carryover from the women's college tournament, I think that'd be great. I don't know if it'll happen or not. I have no idea. I hope they've seen that you can make money from it and they start promoting it more.
Right.
Because I think that's part of the issue. Like you just like. I'm not exactly sure when the WNBA season is. I think it starts in the summertime. Is that true?
Yeah, it's June. Starts in June.
Through like the fall? Does it basically end around when the
NBA
starts?
It ends before the NBA starts. Yeah, it's like a four-month season.
I mean, I think it'd be great if they like, I think they've clearly, like the women's NCAA tournament has clearly shown there's enthusiasm for women's basketball. So
yes.
Even if like the regular season, I mean, NBA, WNBA is a little ho-hum all the time. Like that's clearly fallen off because people don't watch as many games, but
yeah,
you know, leading into the NBA season, I hope they're really promoting the WNBA like finals and playoffs so that there's that
they always
carryover.
Do. They always do. It's the same brand. It's the same company. So it's,
I know, but
cross-promotion makes sense.
I don't feel like there's a, like they mention it. I don't know how like hardcore promotion it is. I don't know. Again, and this could just be my ignorance. This year it felt like there
it
was
is.
Real energy around the women's tournament more so than any year that I recall in the past.
I don't know the numbers, but I would imagine in years past, even as recently as last year, but certainly 4 or 5 years ago, I would bet the women's Final Four got 2 million viewers, maybe 1.5 million. And as we said, this year it was sustainable 18 plus million for that final game. That's, I mean, it's groundbreaking. And it's
this
interesting.
2023, yeah. The final game was about 10 million. 2022 was 5. And we're going
there
to
you
20
go.
Million in 2024.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people will say, and you, like you said, you know, oh, there's a lot of interesting storylines. There was USC trying to have a perfect season. They were undefeated. They finished undefeated. Congratulations to the Gamecocks for winning the championship. There was, in the Elite Eight, there was Caitlin facing off against Angel Reese, who was a player for LSU, who last year they had a little on-court kerfuffle that made a bunch of headlines. Black girl versus a white girl. By the way, there's a lot of race conversation around this whole Caitlin Clark thing, which I think is ignorant and stupid, but whatever. But let's be honest. You have the all-time leading scorer in women's basketball who, and by the way, I will say, thankfully, is not popular because she's like wildly attractive and she posts pictures of herself in bikini on her bikinis on her Instagram. It's because she's a flat-out scorer. She's a baller. And that's why people were watching it, because that momentum built as the season went on. She broke the record a couple weeks before the tournament started. And then people were like, oh, shit, I guess I should check this out. And you watch her and you're like, damn, she is making shots from all over the place. She's dropping dimes, the likes of which you don't see in women's college ball. And people started realizing, oh, women's college basketball is not the high-flying game that men's college or pro basketball is. It's obviously slower. They use a smaller ball. All the things that people say about women's basketball is true. However, they actually run plays. It's not just fucking isolation after 3 seconds of a play breaking up, which is what the NBA is, which I know you don't want to hear, but it's generally true. They have solid fundamentals. Again, yeah, they missed more layups in that final game than I've seen in a basketball game in a long time. But that's not what I'm talking. I'm not talking about their shooting percentage. I'm talking about, you know, bounce passes and setting picks and all that sort of stuff. And it really is, it's, and I was talking to Jamie about this over the weekend. You're watching essentially a completely.
As a person who doesn't watch many NBA games, so we'll just qualify it with that.
No, that's not true at all. I watch a lot of college and a lot of NBA games. Thank you very much. I watch one team, but who doesn't primarily watch one team? Most people do. In any event, it's a different, it's, you're watching essentially a different sport. It is that different in how it works, other than you're trying to get the ball in the basket. But it was intriguing, and it caught the attention of a lot of people. But I actually enjoyed it. Now, I was talking with some coworkers earlier this week. Do I think I will watch any women's college basketball next season? Probably not likely. I don't have a rooting interest in any teams. There won't be, at least that I know of. I didn't expect it this season either. There won't be a person that will grab the national interest. But again, I think all credit for this increase in viewership, or at least 85-90% of it, is because of Caitlin Clark. And I hope that when she gets to the next level, she's able to continue with these sponsorships. She's able to continue with bringing the interest to now the WNBA, which I have mocked for 25 years as an unwatchable travesty of a sporting event. But maybe it'll be interesting now. Maybe more girls, we're fathers of girls, will be led towards playing that sport so that the overall game will become better, become more entertaining, become more interesting, and therefore keep those higher viewers. I think, to your point, it would be great if years down the road, the women's Final Four and the men's Final Four are getting similar viewership numbers. That would be fantastic. Why not? I read an article a few months ago about how underpaid women's college basketball coaches are, except for the very few at the top. And that's not even compared to men's basketball coaches. Every men's basketball coach at major programs is well overpaid. But they're making, you know, they were talking about women's college basketball coaches making $75,000, $80,000, which is above national average for income. However, the top men's basketball coaches are making $8 to $10 million a year. Now, is that fair? Well, if you're paid based on, if you're filling the arena, based on most games that you'll see, every college men's basketball game has a full arena. Women's basketball games have 1,200, 1,300 people there. So, yeah, there's some validity to it. But, again, maybe this can turn that tide, which will make it a more marketable sport, to your point, and can kind of switch the narrative on what the sport means on a college campus. I have no feel for that, but on certain college campuses that aren't, you know, UConn or USC, those story programs, for all those other schools, it'll give them a shot to make it a legit sport that people actually care about and will go cheer on as students or as community members and fans. Steps off soapbox.
Cool. Sorry about something else.
Okay. So like I started talking about before you reminded me of the college basketball game, Curb Your Enthusiasm series finale, Sunday night. It was right around an hour, I think a little over, which we talked about last week, but I hope it's longer than normal.
53 minutes, I believe.
53, there you go. I have a lot of thoughts about it, but I want to hear your initial reaction and just closing the chapter on what is Curb.
It was good. I mean, it ended, I mean, I listened to a podcast where they talked about it a little bit. I think it was a good point. You know, that he ended kind of the way he wanted to. He sort of did what they did in the Seinfeld finale, but sort of with a callback, but had a better ending. I mean, I was a little, when they started bringing in all the people to testify against him, I was like, please don't do this clip show shit. But
it was walking down that path for a minute. It really was, but I'm glad they...
That's how Larry likes to do his finales, I guess. I mean, there's some great, great jokes. I think you mentioned, and several people have mentioned to me, the crutch fucker. And
get that crutch fuck.
There are a couple other things. Yeah. Like, just the bit about, like, ratting out the fucking cell phones in the beginning. Like, there was some good comedy bits in there.
Sure.
I mean, I did like seeing... It was interesting who they brought back and who they didn't.
Agreed.
Or not who they didn't, but just like some of the people, like the sort of very Orthodox Jewish woman. Like, that's a pretty classic episode, but did she need to be on the show? I don't know. And Mocha Joe, like, I don't know. He's not like one of my favorite characters or anything. Like,
I hated Mocha Joe.
Honestly, they could have brought back like the, what's his name? The bald guy that was on The Daily Show, Rob, he played a pedophile one.
Rob Corddry?
Yeah. Could have brought him back. I mean, there's tons of people they could have brought back. I don't know. It's interesting. Like, I was thinking about, like, Cheryl was on the show a little bit, but the past couple, since they got divorced, her role has really diminished.
Yeah, there were a whole episode she wasn't on. Yeah.
She's not like my favorite person, but she's a good foil to Larry to some degree.
Yeah, she's the straight man.
She got replaced, not really in style, but just in like screen time by Leon, basically. Like after the season, whatever that was, 8, 10, 9, 8, when they met the blacks, Leon became like, honestly, aside from Jeff and maybe Susie, he was probably the most prominent, like, secondary character on the show. 100%. Which is weird because he's such a very specific type of performer, which is completely absent for the first more than half of the series. It's really interesting how dominant Leon became in the show.
You're not wrong about that.
I thought the finale was good. There's some funny bit. If I'm going to go back and watch classic episodes of Curb, the finale would not be one of them, but it was a decent episode of Curb. It wrapped up the story pretty nicely.
Yeah. Still ended with them bitching about something in the plane.
Yeah. What did they end with? I can't remember now.
They were Susie opened her window. They were all like blinded by the light, which, by the way, I do hate when that happens. That is annoying when people do that. But
yeah, when they dim the lights in the cabins and one asshole decides they're going to open, they ask you to.
She's like, I got to read. That's what the lights are for. He was 100% right. I was on board with Larry's commentary there. But yeah, I mean, I thought that, by the way, season 6 that the blacks first appeared, but.
Whoa, I thought really? Jeez. So literally halfway through.
When you said 8 or 9, I was like, no, he's been there longer than that. I knew that. But yeah, more than half the show. You're absolutely right. When they started bringing up all the characters, I was like, wow, he really is just, you know, take two on the Seinfeld finale.
Double middle fingers to the whole audience.
But then I did quickly realize what you said you heard on the podcast, which is oh, he's you know, obviously for decades he's gotten all this criticism for how Seinfeld ended. He's like, this is my chance to do it again. Jerry was part of it. In fact, Jerry freed them.
They brought Jerry back, but no Julia Louis-Dreyfus George or Kramer.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're the two ones that are the good friends, the co-creators of Seinfeld. So I guess it makes sense. Maybe it was a scheduling thing. It was still a small role for Jerry, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think one thing that was kind of an overarching theme of the whole situation in Atlanta was just his callousness within the judicial system. Like, he's just there cracking wise. You know, when they're doing the jury selection, he's like, no, I can't have this guy. I can't have that guy. He'd be censured if he was sitting in the courtroom. They'd be like, you got to go. You're talking way too much. He was hitting the fly or like trying to swat at the fly, which I was like, how is this going to end? That was one of the cringiest moments.
The fly
was
really weird. What was the point of the fly? Just that's a bit that he thought was funny.
I guess because his lawyer never even acknowledged that it was happening. And you're like, are we supposed to just assume the jurors see this? No, it was definitely a one-off. The other thing, since we're picking nits, if you will, the other nitpick that I have is the fact that Susie went along with dressing up as his girlfriend who got hit, like had the accident or whatever it was. I'm like, she would never do that. She would never roll into a court of law and lie for Larry, certainly.
Fuck you,
and
La.
And then, of course, she blew her cover. Yeah, fuck you, La. That was hard for me to believe. Yes, amongst all the things that happened on that episode or the show in general, I was like, Susie would never do that. She fucking hates Larry. Why would she possibly do anything to help him get out of a jam?
Yeah, but I mean, if she thinks that he has done something good, however convoluted in his, she might be like, I'll support him because I don't think he should go to jail for this or whatever.
Right. But anyway, so that I had an issue with. But yeah, I thought it was, you know, interesting. And again, he led you all the way down the path to the end where he's sitting in a jail cell. They even did the same backwards pan that they did on the final episode of Seinfeld, where the four main cast members of Seinfeld were sitting there having a conversation. And then Jerry walks in, says there was the jury pool was tainted because the guy was out when he shouldn't have been out. And by the way, I should know this because I work with attorneys for a living. I don't think that's exactly how it works. He wouldn't just be like, oh, they found out he wasn't sequestered, so you're free to go. I think they'd throw out a mistrial. It would be a mistrial, but they'd clearly do it again. But they made it seem like, all right, you're free.
They don't usually redo trials. It's a real pain in the ass to redo them.
Oh, I know. I'm keenly aware. Make it sound like I've been in front of a judge many times in my life. Just the once. Different story for a different day. I thought it was a solid ending. It wrapped it up well. Yeah, no laugh out loud moments except for the crutch fuck line from Leon, or at least that I can remember. It stood out.
I thought it was interesting that he's watching Seinfeld and he just thinks it's some sort of like,
yeah, Jerry trying to get laid
porn channel or something.
You tapping that ass, Jerry, and Jerry went along with it at one point. Yeah, I sure did. I was banging a lot of chicks. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, Jerry's reaction to Leon is great because he's just, again, playing it real straight. Sure, yeah.
Just playing along. That's exactly what it was. I thought it was a quality episode and sad that it's over. I will say, this is parallel to this conversation about the show. I'm a few episodes into the podcast that Jeff and Susie are doing. Have you been listening to that? Where they review individual episodes. I think you'd like it. My one beef with it, I guess, is that Jeff Garlin, who plays the character Jeff Green,
yeah,
does not have a mute button. He cannot shut up. You would think between him and Susie Essman that she would be the one talking more, but no, Jeff just talks and talks and talks. And I get it; it's a podcast. That's what you're supposed to do. But he's one of these guys. It's like, and here's another thing. Well, and let me say this first, and then he never gets back to what the other thing is. That drives me crazy. Like, don't bring up something, interrupt yourself, and not get back to it. It's very frustrating. I'm sure I've done it in the past.
I get the feeling that there's some people who, I'm not saying Jeff Green or Jeff, what's his real name?
Jeff Garlin.
Garlin. There's like a major difference, but like sometimes when you have like the actor, again, like Lauren Graham from the Gilmore Girls.
Sure.
Great on the Gilmore Girls. When I see her interviewed, she seems very...
Total bitch.
Not even, I don't mean that.
No, because I've met her. You know that story.
Whatever, yes. I know your brush with fame. I just mean like her sort of fast talking, very like cerebral... personality on the show of Gilmore Girls. When I see her interviewed, she does not seem to have a similar innate personality. Like,
she has a rock for a brain.
I'm not saying that. I mean, the dialogue in that show is very intense and purposefully so. I don't think any normal person talks that way. But when that's your only sort of connection to someone, and then you're like, oh, you're more like a normal person, it's kind of a letdown. So I can imagine, like, and Curb isn't that way because it's not scripted in that way. So I don't think there would be that big a difference. But I don't know. Sometimes when you watch a show and you see, you relate to the character and the actor playing that character, when you see them interviewed and they're like not like that at all, you're like, oh, kind of like the character, like you're the real person is kind of a letdown.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I think most of the people on the show, and it's not even that extreme. I know you're not saying it is that extreme. He just, God, he can talk. He can really talk. Susie is Susie. Like, she's the same fucking person for sure. I mean, she seems a little nicer. She's not as intense and extreme as she is on the show. But she has, and I've seen J.B. Smoove in interviews. He's basically the same guy. In fact, I have his book. I don't know if you ever read that book, but it's...
I believe I bought it for you for Christmas.
Oh, well, there you go. It's J.B. Smoove. That's what I can say. So, in any event, all right, anything else on, do you think that this is truly it? He's ended the show before.
Yes, I think so. Come back. I mean, they were talking about that on the podcast. They're like,
yeah,
probably, but will he do something else that maybe is very similar? Perfectly likely. I mean, it's funny because he is pretty old, but he doesn't seem super old. Like, he doesn't seem frail or, like, I think he could do other projects. Would he do another, like, sitcom? I don't know. I don't know what the alternative, like, I don't know if you watched that movie. He did a movie one time where it was about, like, weird electric cars and stuff.
Sour Grapes?
Is that what it's called?
That was a movie that he did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he has a very distinctive style of working, of weaving together multiple stories. I would say the last few seasons it's been less successful in doing that. So,
right.
I don't know. Maybe he would do a little more like, I don't know. Curb has been such a defining like point of view for him. I don't know if there are other things he wants to do, or if he's just like, I'm going to take notes on things that piss me off or I think might be funny as situations where people get frustrated. Because to me, the whole thing about Curb is like, he reacts as kind of an asshole, but most of the time you're like, I agree with you. Like, this is fucking annoying when people do this. Like, when someone opens the thing, like, would you shout at someone across the plane? Probably not. I certainly wouldn't, but I would be thinking that in my head. And so he's just verbalizing that externally. So,
yeah.
But he gets into more trouble because he doesn't let it go and he's just like an asshole about it, even if he's right most of the time.
Right.
Another show where he does that, like, I think it would be interesting to have a different collaborator. Like, if you think of J.B. Smoove as being the second half of Curb and like Seinfeld being with Seinfeld, like, who's the other person he's working with? And I'm not saying J.B. Smoove was like a full collaborator in the
right
creation of the show or even coming up with the ideas. He may have. Like, I kind of doubt Larry David came up with Crutch Fucker, but maybe
no, did. That's all J.B. Smoove for sure.
So not even creator, but like who is he playing off of, and how does that, because that makes a huge difference in how he interacts with people. He could do a podcast. He doesn't seem like a podcast person to me. I mean, he's on them.
I don't know if you heard the
Conan episode. Like, he could do that, but
he doesn't. I don't think he has the patience for it to do it full time.
I don't think he. Not that he doesn't have the interest, but he doesn't strike me as someone who wants to like interview other people or talk to other people, which would
be a natural
fit for a podcast. But you never know. It could be like a modern version of an old timey radio serial or something where he's doing podcast form.
That's a possibility.
But yeah, I kind of doubt Curb will come back. But also, they were saying on the podcast, if he wanted to do another season, they'd be like, all right.
Of course they would.
Like, no one. Why would they not? No one's going to get upset.
I'm sure. By the way, that movie
would be like, you're going to pay us money to do this again? Sure.
Yeah, why not? The movie was Clear History. That's what you were thinking of with the electric cars. He could also do, you know, the whole series was a spinoff, if you will, from the hour long special entitled Larry David Curb Enthusiasm. I feel like he could bookend it with another hour long special.
Sure. Yeah.
That kind of talks about where he is now. Maybe he decides, I've now done two wildly successful sitcoms. I'm going to do stand up again and see how that works. You know, who knows? Obviously, that's something that HBO would pay for. And then, again, I would watch.
Did you hear I think it maybe was on the Conan interview on how he would decide if the audience was a good audience?
Is this thing where he'd stand up and go, no, not tonight, and just leave? Is that what you're talking about?
No, he would say something like, I feel like we're getting along well. Do you mind if I use the two form with you? And he's like, if the audience got it, he's like, I knew there would be a good audience. If they looked at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? The two form being the more informal you version in French, mostly Spanish. It seemed like a very specific thing that I would not think that Larry David would know, to be honest. He doesn't seem like a Spanish speaker to me.
No.
But he's like, I would do that. And if the audience, like, if I got no reaction, I'd be like, this audience is going to suck. Fuck you guys. And he was like, I would just like start arguing with them about stuff.
I'd love to see some old tapes of that.
Antagonistic Larry David in stand up. As well as like when he's like really on and like the room is working. I'd like to see both.
Right. They talk about that briefly in that podcast, Susie and Jeff do.
Talk about him
doing stand up, because like that's how he knew Susie was from stand up in New York in the '80s, and so she talks a little bit about that, and they mention the thing that I thought you were getting at, which is he would literally sometimes go up for his time and go, nah, not tonight, and just walk off stage, which is insane. Like, you only get so many spots on stage, especially in New York. Especially in the 80s when it was uber competitive just to get a 5-minute spot. So, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But whatever project Larry's going to put his name on in the future, I'm there for it. And, fond farewell to the Curb. It will be missed. It's definitely something to look forward to for 25 years.
24, 25 years, yeah.
Because the 1 hour special was 99. And here we are in 2024. So, okay. So, 13 hours after that aired, give or take, depending on when you watched it, 13 hours after I watched it, when it aired, there was a. What's the band name that Dale gave us?
Path of Totality.
There was an eclipse that came across much of the nation. I think you guys up in the Northeast got more of it than we did. We probably got 65-67% is what I heard on the news, which was fine, but wasn't anything crazy. Just got a little dark here for about 30 minutes, and then it was back to a nice sunny afternoon. I saw pictures that you went out and watched it, so you experienced it. What were your thoughts on the eclipse? Did you see any human beings around you getting sucked up towards the sun or the moon?
Yep, they all did. All my neighbors are gone.
They all did. Oh, look at you. So you truly own the block.
I think we were 85%, which I'm guessing was similar to 2017. It felt about the same to me.
Okay.
It was also like a partly cloudy day, so like, you know, during the eclipse, it sort of gets kind of like twilighty, but then also the eclipsed sun would go sort of behind the clouds and it got even darker and weirder. I don't know. Everyone, like, I really want to, now that I hear more testimonials, I really want to see, like, be in the full path of totality. Cause people are always like weeping when they see it. I'm like, I want to see, like, cause I can't imagine that I will have that reaction, but lots
bullshit,
of people
Todd,
do.
You weep all the time.
I mean,
fucking
weeper, sure,
pussy
about some things, but I just like, I don't know. I'll probably be like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like that's my general reaction to most.
Yeah. Would I travel across
related events,
three states to be like, huh, what do you know? No, I
like,
wouldn't.
I saw Halley's Comet when I was, I don't know, 7 or 8, whatever. We went out in the field. It looked like a cotton ball in the microscope or the telescope. And I was like, this is,
you saw it
cool,
in a microscope? That's the wildest thing I've heard all day.
Saw it in a telescope. We were out in the field. I remember that was with mom, and you might have been there. Maybe not. You might have been too young. Anyway, I don't know. They're like, this isn't going to come around for 75 years. And I was kind of like, well, maybe I'll see it when I'm old. But like, I don't know. I like it. Again, I was looking on a relatively powerful telescope for whatever in the 80s that it was. And like,
yeah.
It didn't do much for me. It didn't like make me want to study the cosmos more or anything. So
I guess
it's not that I don't find that area of science interesting. It's just like the visual representation that I get most of the time is kind of underwhelming.
I guess here's my take on it. And again, we had one like back in November or October, we had a similar eclipse. I think it was a lunar instead of a solar, whatever, it doesn't matter. Or maybe this was a lunar, maybe it was a solar. And we got the glasses and we were on a hike that day and we saw it and it's like, all right.
Halley's Comet was in 1986, so.
Okay, so I was 7.
Yes, I was 10.
You were 10. I guess I'm just too pragmatic to care enough because it's like, we know this is happening. It's literally an alignment of celestial bodies. I don't get why people are having, to your point, these religious react like it's a religious experience.
In fairness, you have not been in the path of totality, correct?
Who the fuck cares? You know what? Go outside tomorrow afternoon and close your eyes. Same shit. It's the same shit.
Well, I think the thing you can experience in a total solar eclipse is like, you get the corona and you can see the gases coming off and you can see spots on the sun.
I have seen pictures of that. That looks pretty cool.
It does look cool. I'd like to see that in person. Also,
but you know what?
The other thing is,
I saw a great picture of it and I was
nowhere near. At the eclipse, the sun, like, you know, if I'm holding up my hand, it's like the size of a pencil eraser in the sky. Like, it's not like,
right.
It's not like a big harvest moon where it's a big fat jumbo thing.
Yeah, I went and saw a show at
the
Sphere. The
sun's not that big, I guess, so.
I saw a show at the Sphere in Vegas a few weeks ago. That was by far a much cooler experience than any eclipse I've ever experienced. Okay? I was immersed in it. I don't care to get immersed in darkness
for
4 minutes.
I don't want to discount the possibility of it being amazing, but I'm definitely skeptical that I would be thoroughly moved by the experience.
So the next one that's in 24 years or whatever, assuming I'm A, still alive, and B, still living here, it's supposed to go over like the Dakotas and either Wyoming or Idaho. So I feel like I'll be close enough. And maybe if I'm hopefully retired by then and I ain't got shit else to do, maybe I'll drive up to Wyoming or the Dakotas and see it. But I doubt it.
No, you won't.
I ain't got that kind of time. Unless there's a casino nearby. If there's a casino nearby, I'll go. But the reactions were, and I've been seeing pictures of I mean, hell, even here, where again, we were 65, 67%, whatever it was, there's a park downtown full of people. Just hundreds, if not thousands of people. Every picture I saw of any public space, there was, I think it was in Illinois, there was a, at Southern Illinois, the football stadium had like 8,000 people in it to watch this thing. I just, that's the other thing. If I'm going to have some sort of reaction to it, I'd rather do it in privacy, not surrounded by 9,000 of my closest friends. That just doesn't make any sense.
Most people enjoy experiencing that as a collective. They're not all weird fucking hermits like you.
Well, I hate humanity, so that probably plays a part in my reaction there. But yeah, I don't know. Utterly overhyped. I was hoping that, and we can certainly talk about this next week, but I want to get the, and I'm going to ask him this point blank, I want to get the opinion from our friend Dale, who is, for a living, deeply involved in looking up towards the sky and everything that happens up there, and get his thoughts on both what he saw, because he did travel to see this. He lives near me.
Went to Texas.
Went to Texas. Hopefully it wasn't too cloudy. I saw some pictures. I was like, man, I'd be fucking pissed if I booked that shit a few months ago and you fly away.
Yeah, I would say I'm willing to drive 3 or 4 hours maybe. Like to get to the Path of Totality was like 8 or 9 hours. I was like, eh. It might be cloudy. In my mind, I was like, these happen relatively frequently. But then I was like, it's going to be a while before the next one.
It's going to be a minute.
The next one in the world, I guess, is in Spain.
I meant the best spot. The contiguous. Yeah,
for sure. If for some reason it becomes an obsession of mine, I could always like spend the money to go somewhere and see it, I guess.
Well, there's one in Alaska in like 4 or 5 years, too.
Oh, really?
I don't anticipate this
happening, so. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe
it's not going to happen.
I think part of the thing is, like, I think to get into it, you have to be sort of interested in astronomy or whatever. And I think maybe if you saw it as a kid and you're like, have this experience, it's great. You'll be like, I want to do that again. Like, us being this old and jaded where we're like, I'm not really buying this, like people fucking falling to their knees and like worshiping the sun god Ra after seeing a black circle pass in front of it. Like, it does black seem like when you say it out loud, it sounds fucking ridiculous. So I don't know.
Especially like, the sun god Ra.
I think going in with that attitude is sort of preventative of it being a great experience too.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah, no, I understand. 100% a self-fulfilling prophecy, of course.
So, but. I don't know. I'm not optimistic for my life-changing eclipse thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're not wrong. It's just, I don't know. It was a thing. Bunch of people got excited about it.
If you like eclipses and you went and saw this one and were moved by it, more power to you. I'm not trying to take the fun away from anyone else. I walked out on my back deck. I put the glasses on.
I walked out on my back deck. I looked at it. And I was like, "Huh." And then I went back inside. And I didn't look at it.
The shadows are cool. The moon-shaped shadows.
Yeah, I saw a lot of pictures of that. My one of my coworkers put a bunch of pictures up like that. I was like, "Oh, I would have done that if I'd have thought about it." But
my wife had the calendar out. That was nice.
It's good for
creating the moon-shaped shadows. Lots of little holes.
Yeah.
That I don't understand, though. I guess because it's such a perfect sphere, like, when a cloud goes in front of the sun, it doesn't fuck up the shadows like that. Is it because it's like water vapor and less fully opaque or something?
I think it's the full opaqueness that makes it, because a cloud would never, because if there's too much clouds, you can't see a shadow anyway, because there's no
light. I know, but like, You know, there's like the edge of the clouds moving across the grassy field you're on. You can see that like sunny area.
You can
and
see
dark
it coming.
Area.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it affects the shape of the shadows.
Maybe well,
it
does, and the
I
other.
Just
no.
Paid attention.
Todd,
to
here's.
It.
This is a math thing, so I get that you don't get it. Clouds are much closer to the surface of the Earth than the moon is. So it's a completely different refraction of the light and blockage of the light that's happening. Now the moon is still many light years away from the sun, obviously, but
I think it's more a factor of the makeup right. of the.
Write this down. We're going to ask Dale. Distance. He'll know the answer to this question. Just remind it. If you don't remember, I'll try to remind you to.
Maybe it is the distance, because if you think about it, if you hold yeah. a paper circle in yes. front, it's not going to yes. do anything.
Yes.
But if I threw a paper circle into the sky, then the shadows
Hang on.
Are fucked.
Hang on. Let's be quiet and see if we can hear the gears in Todd's head turning ever so slowly. I can't hear it.
Oh, I like that you use the word refraction when I'm not sure you know what it means. So,
well, fucking call me on it then. I used it.
I just did.
Bring it up. Let's move on to the final topic, unless you have more eclipse shit to talk about. No, okay. Final topic, Todd. I haven't
talked about the eclipse at all, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't have either.
But I know we did talk about it for 25 minutes, but.
We sure did. Final topic, Todd. And it happened today. The juice is no longer loose. As you like to say, gun down in his prime. OJ Simpson.
I saw. Kicked the bucket. This is not mine, but this is a good one. Finally, Nicole Brown can rest, knowing that her killer has been put away.
I saw that too. I also saw somebody on Facebook said, you know, let's not make jokes on this day, consider his family. And they said, we can take a stab at it tomorrow. I thought that was pretty good too.
Yeah, nice.
There's a bunch out there, bunch of jokes. Yeah. OJ Simpson, obviously best known as a running back at USC. Second best known as
now he's known more as a murderer.
As a football star for the Cleveland Browns, I believe. And a distant third for being the subject of the trial of the century, as it is, I believe, aptly named, for murdering his wife, which we all know that he did. I wanted to ask you, because I have a vivid memory of this, but I looked it up earlier and the date didn't make sense to me. I have a vivid memory of being in the backseat of one of, I don't know which iteration, but one of our minivans, whatever van we owned in 1995, and hearing on the radio the verdict of the OJ trial. Do you recall this at all?
No. I remember watching the Bronco chase at Kate Burns' house on television.
I remember watching the Bronco chase at Stephen Levin's beach house. Couldn't turn it off. Couldn't turn away. So you don't recall where you were when the verdict was read?
No. I don't remember the verdict. I mean, I know it was like
not guilty.
A big out. Yeah, sorry. I know what the verdict was. I remember there was a lot of outrage, but
yes, that too.
Honestly, like it didn't in my life, the day to day, sort of like the eclipse, not a huge impact. Like I didn't.
And it wasn't for me either.
If he killed her or not, honestly.
Sure.
And I didn't feel like a travesty of justice. Like, I don't know. It was people who had nothing to do with my life. Honestly,
of course,
the car chase was way more interesting than like
the trial. Definitely
I didn't
was.
Follow the trial closely. I know a lot of people did. It was clearly a subject of fascination for
most of
the country, but at that point in my life, I was not that interested.
It put Court TV on the map. We'll definitely say that. It was by far and still is the most publicized trial of an individual of all time. I think that goes without question. And that will probably last forever because now cable TV is 900 channels. So there's nothing that's going to get that sort of public attention. But yeah, the verdict was read on October 3rd, 1995. And I'm just sitting here thinking, where would I have been going? I swear that I heard it in the back of a car. Yeah, back of a van. And it's really bothering me that I can't remember what exactly was happening.
I don't think we had a van, though.
In 95? You sure?
I think our mother was driving a Mercury Mountaineer or something.
It would have been right on the cusp, and I'll tell you how I know that. Because there were plenty of shows that I drove to, JYD shows, in the van. And JYD was in its infancy in 95.
I don't know what car we had. our parents.
I know a car you had, the Stang, baby.
No, I think this was pre-Stang. I think this was still
pre-Stang. I thought you had the Stang in high school.
No.
Because you got in college because you didn't have to use all the money. Because you were like, I got money burning a hole in my pocket because my parents had saved money for me to pay for college. And you didn't have to use it all because you stayed local. And so you used that money to get the Stang. Not true?
I don't think that had anything to do with it, but maybe. I don't know.
That's not
a financial decisions that our father says things and then reneges on them. And stuff moves around. So,
well, getting personal.
Maybe that happened.
I feel like that's what happened. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I had
to get a new car, and I was going to get, I was actually thinking about getting an Escort wagon, but no, sorry. This was,
what? An Escort
after
wagon?
The Mustang died. Also, there was some shady shit going on when that car, like,
that car was a fucking lemon, for sure.
I had to get a new car to move to Seattle because there was, like, a belt issue, and they're like, oh, replacing this belt's going to be expensive, which I feel like replacing a belt on a car is, like, $600, like, the timing belt or something.
Not even.
So, that being a reason to get a completely different car seems like complete horseshit to me, but that is what happened.
So that's when you got the mistake.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's, again, it's quite some
time
ago.
Still better.
So foggy memories, but.
Yeah, it's 30 years ago, which is fucking. No, that's not right.
Yeah, pretty
much.
No,
that is right. Oh, my God. Close. Oh, my God. That is right. 30 years ago. Wow. Whew. That's insane. Wait a minute.
I don't remember. Yeah, I guess I got the Mustang because you were getting the Taurus to drive around in. Is that true?
I don't know if that's why you got the Mustang, but when I got my license soon thereafter, I got the OG Taurus, yes.
What piece of shit that car was.
I mean, which would have been lasted, around this
it was,
time.
It was more durable than most of the other cars we had.
Well, the AC wasn't, but yes, the car itself
the
was
AC
pretty
AC definitely left us.
AC
I was
took
telling
a shit.
People that I when I moved back for or came back in the summers in grad school, I had to drive that Taurus that I had also driven in high school with no air conditioning.
Yeah.
And had to go to my job where I wore a tie every day and sweated my ass off on the way home. In fucking Columbia, South Carolina in the summertime with no air conditioning, driving 30 minutes each
way. That's still so funny to me.
The morning was fine because it was still cool enough.
Yeah, it was all right.
God, the evenings.
Morning drives probably
sucked
72
ass.
Degrees, 98% humidity, but on the way home, 106, 50% humidity, so doable.
106.
No. Yeah. That was fun. That was
no,
a fun
I don't.
Summer.
I don't really remember a lot about the verdict. I did not follow the trial.
Yeah, like, it's definitely one of those things.
The glove does not fit. You must acquit.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Like, I don't think I watched that or even really watched the news.
No.
Again, I was fucking in college. I didn't give a shit.
Who cares? Yeah, you didn't give a shit. When I was in high school, I didn't give a shit either. But it's interesting that subsequent to that, like, I've watched the 30 for 30 documentary, Rona J. Run. I watched that show on, what was it, on AMC. I've watched, it was really good. I very much enjoyed it. I watched all that stuff.
I haven't watched any of that again because I didn't care at the time, but I'm sure it's interesting.
You should watch it now. I mean, there's so many things that were going on. Like the fucking Kardashian broads, their father was one of the lead attorneys.
Yeah, I know.
Early on. But there's pictures of them like going to court with OJ, like, you know, supporting their father and like OJ coming back to their house afterwards to hang out, whatever. And they addressed that in the show, by the way. What was it called? I'm trying to look for it now. I can't find it. Apparently, there was a song called I Used to Love Her by Body Count. Who's the lead singer of Body Count, Todd?
Ice-T.
Ice motherfucking T.
Detective
I listened to it
something on SVU.
Yeah, better known as that at this point. I listened to that song earlier today. Terrible. I don't know how Body Count ever sold
Not
a
surprising.
Single record. Really, really bad. Like, really bad. The People versus O.J. Simpson is what it's called. It was on FX, not AMC. Very good. Highly recommended. I would watch it. But yeah, it's just one of those things that until 9/11 in my life, the question of where were you?
Detective Tutuola is his name on the SVU.
There you go. Thank you. We were all wondering. The question of where were you when the Bronco chase happened is just one of those. And of course, I still remember that too. But it's just one of those things that, you know, I almost said, who shot JR? When Kennedy got shot, the Bronco chase, 9/11, these are events where everyone knows where they were when they happened, assuming you were alive. And on my deathbed, I'll remember where I was for both of those events that I lived through.
Sorry, quickly on SVU. Yeah. There have been 525 episodes of that show. That is fucking insane.
That's a lot of episodes. Curb just finished 120, and you're saying they have 400 more? That's pretty nutso.
Yeah.
How many is Ice-T?
Same time span, basically. It started in 2000. I mean, 22-episode seasons, clearly, and they didn't have any, like, hiatus.
No, they just kept pounding them out.
I don't think. Maybe they did. I don't know.
I don't think so. 24 years times 22, what's that equal?
I don't know. 525.
520. So that's probably exactly what it is. But you're listening. I assume you're going to listen to that Body Count song now, so I'll just wait.
No, I'm not going to.
Oh, okay. Good. It's really bad. It's called I Used to Love Her. It's a terrible song. By the way, the Body Count drummer died of leukemia, which I did not know. But I stumbled across in my research as well. Anyway, so yeah, just tragic that OJ passed. He died of cancer, by the way. I don't know if you saw that or not. I don't think it was released exactly what type of cancer it was. Maybe it was. I didn't see that. My phone blew up, though. I got notifications from ESPN, from Skype, from Google News. Like, it just immediately started popping up. And so I quickly posted to Facebook as quickly as I could. Because, you know, you got to get in early to get the likes and the interaction. Todd's listening to the fucking Body Count song.
It's interesting watching this now because I know Ice-T, his Law & Order career has far eclipsed his music.
Yes, indeed.
Either Body Count or before that rap. He had more of an intense gangster rap.
Yes.
Sort of.
Oh, very much so.
Reputation. So, but he just looks silly in the video.
But it's in the
sort
video,
of like Ice Cube doesn't, like, if he were to do right. something now, you'd be like, oh, he's a lovable dad in a bunch of kids'
yeah.
movies. He's
Carpool not like a Six.
Threatening yeah, exactly. fellow.
Right.
I mean, I know he was a comedic actor in like Friday, but.
Right.
In some of the earlier stuff and all the NWA stuff, he seemed like
very hard
to fuck you up.
West Side Connection too. But the funny thing about it, since you're watching the Body Count video, Ice-T looks exactly the same.
Yeah, he does.
In my opinion.
I mean,
the man does not age.
He's filled out a little bit, but his face
well, sure,
looks
he's gained a pound
similar.
Or two. Exactly. Yeah, he was probably ripped back in 94 or whenever, 95, whenever this came out. But and by the way, let me amend my earlier statement. Prostate cancer is what caught up with the juice.
This song came out in 97.
There you go. He tried to hop in a Hertz car and get away from it. Couldn't do it. Should have gotten the Bronco. That would have been better. So RIP to the juice. And I guess we'll never know what happened.
This, did he leave it up? Also, this genre of music, yeah. The sort of rap rock.
Yes.
Sounds very dated as well.
Yes. Like, terrible.
Both the rap style, like the flow of rappers is completely different now, like all the triplet yep. kind of stuff. And just
yep.
either it's like the mush mouth thing or like quicker tempo thing. Just the rhythmic
yeah, like
stylings
logic.
Of rapping has evolved quite a bit from the like very straightforward da 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 da. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
the 80s and 90s rap was far more simplistic, and this being paired with like metalish rock music is even more simplistic than some of the
yeah.
stuff that was happening at the time. Like there
it's
was
bad.
More complicated rapping at the time, but this ain't it.
This ain't it. That is for sure.
Honestly, I think the rapping and the vocals are the worst part of this song.
They are. Yeah, the music's is what it is. But yeah, the rapping's
not great,
terrible.
But it's not it doesn't sound as dated as the rapping does.
Yeah, it's a travesty.
And the lyrics are also terrible.
Yeah, they're really dumb.
Very misogynistic.
Yes, of course. Suck to dick. Yeah. Yeah. I listened to the whole thing. There's a little spoken word part in the middle where it's very obvious he's talking about OJ killing Nicole Brown. And apparently that was very controversial in 97. So I read, but I didn't necessarily hear that part, but it's just like a little 10-second thing where Ice-T is talking about it. But speaking of Ice-T, aside from his 20-plus year career on SVU, there was a burrito place when we first moved here. We had an apartment the first year we lived in Denver that we would frequent. And for their iced tea, they just had a picture of iced tea on the nice. Drink machine, which I thought was pretty solid. I was like, you fucking stoners. And that's all this place was. All of them were fucking
Wait,
stoners.
Wait, a burrito place run by stoners? I don't believe it.
A burrito place in Denver in 2014 run by stoners? Yes. Shock and awe fills the room.
Who would have thunk?
Me and everyone listening. All right. So that's the last thing I got. I'm out of topics. I got nothing else to say.
I doubt that's true.
That is. You're right. That's false. Are you playing soccer this spring?
I have not gone in a very long time. I was going to go on Tuesday, but I was
lazy.
Some other stuff.
Still traumatized by the
Put
eclipse.
Put me in a bad mood.
Okay.
Going.
So you opted not to go. Gotcha. Yes. Okay. And does this run through the summer or is this just a spring fall?
It's year round.
It's year round, so you can always jump back in.
Yeah.
If you're not playing soccer, Todd, what are you doing for exercise besides yawning?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nice. Okay. Good to hear. How's that Peloton working out for you and family?
We're paying $40 a month for it to sit there or whatever it is.
Do you have the stereotypical clothes hanging from the side?
No, I don't think we have anything propped on it.
On it? Oh, okay. Well,
just
that's good.
Kind of sitting there.
Collecting dust. That probably puts you in the 35 to 40% of Peloton members, I would imagine.
I don't know. It's not really that surprising.
No, I'm not surprised at all.
No, I don't mean for me. I'm just saying you buy a piece of equipment, you'll use it for a while. I mean, I think the classes help, but
sure.
I don't know. It's like, yeah, it's just like anything else. You need to, like, if you want to establish a habit, you have to do it for whatever 6 weeks and
right. You keep making it 4.5. And
I mean,
like, oh.
I have a lot of excuses, but my main excuses are like the class is 30 to 45 minutes, but then you gotta like take a shower afterwards. Like it just eats up a lot of time. Yeah, I don't have an extra hour in the morning to do that before work. And then
you have a lunch
at
break?
The end of the day, I don't want to do shit.
Yeah. That's the problem. The end of the day come down, as they say. It impacts you. Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
that's my time
like,
to shine.
The end of my day is usually 9 o'clock, 9:30 after like cleaning up dishes from dinner and putting the kids to bed.
Sure.
So I don't want to fucking do anything then.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Do you find that if you exercise at night, like soccer nights, that you're like geeked up?
No, I don't understand that. People are like, oh, I can't fall asleep. I'm like, that does not, my sleep is not affected by anything. as far as like okay, what so, I'm doing.
So do it at night. 9:30, 10 o'clock.
I don't want to fucking do that and take a shower. I just don't want to.
You don't want to shower at night?
I don't mind showering at night. I don't want to like exercise and then shower at night.
Okay.
I want to do nothing for the last hour and a half that I'm awake. Gotcha. My only free time, I want to just like chill the fuck out. I don't want to ride the bike and listen to some shithead and be like, you can do it. You can push harder.
Can't you just like listen to a podcast but still kind of tell what's going on?
Yeah, but
I genuinely don't know. I've never done that before.
So like they have programs where they tell you like they're not constantly, but they move the resistance and the angle.
Yeah, yeah.
Throughout it. So you can, I've listened to podcasts and do it, but it's kind of annoying. It's hard to fully focus on one or the other. Like if I'm listening to a podcast and like paying attention to what they're saying, I feel like it's easier for me to miss the cues on when to hit the things.
Right.
And it's always playing music. So it's, you're sort of
it's
listening
like three
to
things, at
three
once.
Things yeah. at once or not. You, yeah, and you tough. Can, you can turn up the instructor voice and turn the music down or vice sure. versa. But that's the other thing is, the music selection's okay.
Terrible. Can't you pick the music, the background music?
Well, they do classes with types of music, so you can like select types of music that you want. And you certainly could, again, you could have just the instructor and play whatever music you want, but they, a lot of them are like timed to the beat of the music and stuff.
Gotcha.
Not that I hit that, but...
I'd hit that. Do they have a body count class?
I doubt it. I mean, they have like some, like the, I think they have some punk and some like heavy metal stuff, but not really. They're pretty limited. I mean, it's a lot of like pop and then
EDM.
Some like, yeah, EDM shit or other stuff that I don't want to listen to.
Sure. I hear that. Loud and clear. Well, maybe one day. Get back in the mix.
It's possible.
Is summer any better than school year? Or maybe
as
worse?
As far as what?
As far as availability, free time, that sort of stuff.
I mean, not really.
Same.
My work hours don't really change, so.
No, I know that, but I meant more familial obligations.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if the kids are going to camp, I still have to make lunch in the morning. If they're not, then I don't know what they're doing. Like this year, I think we have fewer camps, so they might just be hanging out at the pool. I don't know.
Gotcha.
I'm not exactly sure if we know what the plan is right now.
Wait, are you guys still have a membership though, right?
Oh, we definitely have the pool. I'm just saying like we can't just drop them off at the pool.
Why not? You do it every day.
You're not supposed to be unaccompanied if you're under 18.
Oh, wow.
And they have friends that their parents are like, well, because they don't really have to do anything. Like,
yeah,
we'll keep an eye on them. Like, when we're there at the pool with them, they're not around with us. So,
right.
But you're not supposed to just drop them off at the pool all day.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, all day would be a problem. They come back all sunburned, exhausted, starving.
I mean, they have a.
They get snacks. I know.
Snack,
they have a shop.
A concession stand. And they know our member number, which they could easily charge stuff. But then we'd be losing. We'd have a net negative.
In our You're buying flow. Stuff for everybody. Another round for the crew.
Well, they definitely get ice cream every day. They would buy. Like, yeah. The meals are. The food's not cheap there.
Of course.
$20 lunches that they eat a chicken strip and a half and. Some soggy fries.
Slice of pizza, fries, and a Coke. $22.50.
It's not quite that bad, but it's pretty close.
Put it on the Hoffman bill, yeah. Oh, man. The good old days. Who am I kidding? We never had that. That's why we had a pool in the backyard. Keep it local, you know?
I don't feel like there was the same pool culture in South Carolina that there is here, though.
I mean, Spring Valley had a country club.
There were country clubs, but
I'd go there with Michael Brew, yeah.
But did many of your friends go there, like hang out there all the time?
No.
In the summertime?
No.
Yeah.
I went occasionally.
I feel like those were mostly neighborhood, and they have that as well in the Baltimore area. But there's, like, our club has people from the surrounding area. Like, it's a very social place, and, like, a lot of... Honestly, like, we have friends that I call, like, pool friends, because we don't really see them during the school year, because our kids now go to a different middle school than our kids, but, like, see them 4 or 5 times a week in the summertime because they're at the pool all the time. So,
summertime friends. By the way, that reminds you, me, totally switching topics. As a local-ish, what's your take on the bridge collapsing?
Not good. What do you mean?
Hot take. First of all, what was it called? Rip Van Winkle Bridge? What was it called?
It was called the Key Bridge.
Francis Scott Key. They're
probably going to change the name.
Of course they are, because I'm sure he was racist. But
it was. Yes, but very much so.
Like, again, I just saw the headlines. I think virtually no one died, if not literally no one.
6 people died.
Were they on the bridge or were they on the boat?
They were on the bridge. They were workers.
Oh, okay.
The driver lost power, which is basically why he crashed into the bridge. His boat lost power, and this is a big fucking container ship, like massive ship.
Yes, huge, of course.
He lost power twice, and his generator also did not work. I don't know if they've gotten information on how that happened.
Right.
But he was able to, like, call Mayday, ask for help, and contact the Coast Guard. So they were able to stop cars from going across the bridge. It basically prevented anyone driving from across the bridge from being hurt. But there are, I think, 8 men working on the bridge, basically, like, doing asphalt shit and fixing stuff on the bridge. And they were not able to get off. I think 2 survived, but I think the rest died. All workers from, like, Mexico and Central and South America. I don't know if they were.
I understand.
Like, if they were.
Not of this land originally.
Well, I don't know if they were, like, had citizenship status or not. It doesn't matter. I
mean, documented they were working or not, here paying taxes. Matter. Yes. And they were killed.
Doing jobs that nobody else wanted to do, especially after, obviously, they were killed. But work, like, hard work, working hard in dangerous conditions, and lost their lives. I think all of them had families as well. It's very tragic.
So the boat kind of floated into one of the, I'm using all the wrong terminology, one of the pillars, one of the...
Yeah, it basically took out the whole fucking bridge. Like,
and the whole thing fell into the river.
Yes. Like, there's sort of the 2 sides of the land, and there's kind of 2 piers.
Stanchions.
Supports in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it went into one of those and just ripped the shit out of this, like,
took the whole thing bridge.
I think they've removed all the bridge out of the water. And I heard they're supposed to reopen the port at the end of this month or next month. I saw something. Oh, there's, like, a local news source that was saying, like, they thought it was going to take a really long time. I mean, it's going to take a long time to rebuild the bridge, but
obviously
the port being open is going to be huge. So that'll help. Because they were saying it might not be open for a couple of years, but I think they've figured out some way around that.
As a layman who does not live there, don't think I've ever been over that bridge, how can a structure, other than it being maybe 105 years old, I don't know, how can a structure of that size even be in a situation where a boat, no matter how large, could literally fucking wipe the whole thing out? Is it because it was an outdated bridge? Is it something they were looking to replace anyway?
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with the bridge. The boat hit one of the 2 fucking supports, like, straight on. Doesn't matter how good the bridge is. If you take a boat 400 foot long or whatever, it's like, it's a gigantic vessel that ran into it and ran squarely into the
cargo container. I saw it. Yes, I did see it. was David versus Goliath, I suppose. But and I made that number up. How old was that bridge? Do you remember?
I think it was in the 50s or 60s. So the boat was 300 meters, so 984 feet long, and weighed 95,000 tons when empty.
Right. Yeah, that's all just numbers. I feel like
it's a huge fucking boat, 10 football fields long.
I understand that, but like let's put this, well, a meter and a yard are the same, but let's put this in perspective of like the Golden Gate Bridge.
I guess three football fields. Not 10.
I bet that same, I know, you're an idiot. I bet that same boat could run into one of the supports of the Golden Gate Bridge, and Golden Gate Bridge would be like, get the fuck off. What are you doing?
I don't
think so. I do.
Well, you don't know what you're talking about, so.
Well, neither do you
think that.
So, and that's kind of the thing that I just didn't, when I first heard about it, I didn't understand how that could make it go down. Now, based on pictures I've seen, I'm guessing the Francis Scott Key Bridge compared to the Golden Gate Bridge, it's probably 1/10 the size, so that could certainly play a part. Golden Gate Bridge is fucking gigantic. I'm sure you've been across it.
I don't think so. I think I'd be interested in
it's a fucking
big
interstate. It's literally a double-decker interstate.
So was the Key Bridge.
Was it an interstate, really?
Yes.
What was it, 95 or something? What was it?
695. So basically the ring road around Baltimore. So it connects 95 to 95.
Gotcha. Love when that happens. So they definitely, it definitely is good they could stop traffic then, because no matter what time of day it was, there would have been cars zipping across that thing. I didn't realize that. See, this is the local flavor that I'm looking for from you, Todd. Read the papers, you know, watching the local news as you do, since you pay for cable.
I do not pay for cable. Nobody pays for cable anymore, except for you.
I do.
The Golden Gate Bridge is 8,900 feet long. The Key Bridge was 8,600 feet long. So they're basically the same
huge
size. Yeah.
I promise you, that boat could run into the Golden Gate Bridge and ain't shit would happen. Ain't shit.
Its main span of 1,200 feet was the third longest of any continuous truss in the world.
This is the Francis Scott Key.
The Key Bridge, yeah.
Is there a reason you're not saying Francis Scott Key?
It's long.
Is that not the accurate
name? Accurate name. That's the accurate name.
Oh, damn. I see it now. I'm looking at it on the map. Yeah, it's pretty large. Oh, that's weird. If you look at it on Google Maps, it's now gone.
Yeah, it's not there anymore.
I know, but I would think there'd still be like a line and just maybe a...
Oh, it opened in 1977. The Golden Gate Bridge opened in 1933. So I'm pretty sure that the Golden Gate Bridge would get more fucked up by... I don't think there are any container ships going under the Golden Gate Bridge, though. I think all that stuff goes under the Bay Bridge.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of the FSK. It's weird. It's just a lot of pictures of sea. It's like, to use a Back to the Future quote, it's like it's been erased from existence. There are some pictures, but not nearly as many as there should be. That's wild. So maybe I did go over it. Yeah, probably not, though.
I know. If I'm looking at this, it actually would have to go under the Golden Gate Bridge to get into Oakland.
San Francisco Harbor. Yeah, it's there. Shit goes underneath it. I think maybe that's the difference. It's just way higher. I mean, you've seen that movie about people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, right?
No.
No. It's an interesting documentary. You should check it out. So what are people doing now?
Golden Gate Bridge has a clearance of 220. Key Bridge. Okay. 185. So again, not that different.
So are people just taking $8.95? Like if you land at BWI, you want to get to, let's say, Rossville, you're taking $8.95 instead of $6.95?
I don't know.
Look in the local Baltimore chatter here.
Yeah. So you're saying $8.95. Oh, yeah, they really did remove it. Getting to
isn't
where?
Isn't that fucking wild looking? That's pretty cool.
Well, so $8.95 is a tunnel. And,
ooh.
Oh, wait, maybe. No, that's, yeah, I think that is the tunnel. No. Yes?
No, that's no. A bridge.
Is it?
Do you fucking live in the Baltimore area or do you not? I feel like you're just making sure.
No, they're both.
It's not
it
a
says
tunnel.
It's a tunnel. The yes, they're both tunnels.
Oh, Baltimore Harbor Tunnel. Oh, it's a toll road. So actually the city's making money off this. Maybe it's a big conspiracy theory. The so city took down
I think both of those tunnels across the Patapsco River there. One of the things they're worried about is trucks were not allowed to take like hazardous materials through the tunnels. So that's that key bridge was like a major thoroughfare sure. like to connect 95 to get around the
no
city.
Mo. Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going north on 695 would be a huge like pain in the ass around or if they're going through the city. I don't know.
Oof.
None
or
of those
just staying
are great
on 95.
Options.
They could stay on 95.
But they can't go through that tunnel. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you're saying that and the one by Fort McHenry. They're both tunnels.
Yes, the Fort McHenry tunnel. I don't unless they've lifted that restriction.
Interesting. Man, so what's weather? What weather on the 8th? What's weather going to be like in Baltimore tomorrow? Since we're doing local chatter,
I think it's a little cooler tomorrow because it's raining today. But
oh, nice.
It's been in the upper 60s, low.
Yeah,
70s.
I really don't care. I was just making a like local radio joke.
Oh,
all right. Now we're gonna go to. Now we're gonna toss it over to Todd. He's gonna tell us what's going on with the Orioles so far this season.
I think
not off to a
good.
Hot start, huh? Oh, are they?
Okay. The O's, yeah.
The O's?
Baltimore O's are doing pretty good this year.
What about the Bullets? Oh, wait, that's a different team in a different city.
It doesn't exist.
In a different era. All right. Well, look, this was fun. We learned something, or did we? Up for debate.
The Orioles are in second place in their division.
Ooh. And what is that, the AL East?
Yes. Behind the Yankees.
The fucking
still early
Yankees.
Days, though. They've only played 12 games.
Yeah, I know. It's April, of course. Season just started 6 minutes ago. And who fucking pays attention to baseball anymore? Not many.
They would be in, looks like, fifth place? Fourth place?
Looks
yeah, fourth
like
place overall moved. In the AL.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Good on you. Congrats. All right, let's call it a pod there. We learned, we laughed, we cried, we reminisced.
That's you're all overwhelmed you by the power of the eclipse.
I really am. The eclipse is still, I know you're passing it off as a ho-hum, know-nothing, but
yes,
it
that's
really
what I'm
me.
Doing.
Yeah, it's fucking very disappointing, but in any event. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Shoot us an email, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. By the way, this is episode, I believe, 247, if not 248. Special episode coming soon. Also, we're going to do a We Watchables at some point in the not-too-distant future. We've already selected the film. We just need to kind of dedicate ourselves to it and pick a date. Todd and I will figure that out off the air. So stay tuned for that. I was listening to the Rewatchables live version of The Fugitive that they did in Chicago at some point recently. Very entertaining, about halfway through it. So we do our own version. We will not be doing it live in front of a studio or in front of a live audience.
Sure will.
But we could, down the road, but I'm saying this next one.
Oh, gotcha.
Coming just in the next couple of weeks. We'll just be doing in Studio A and Studio B, obviously. But in any event, if there's a movie that you think we should do that you'd like to hear us discuss, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com, thebropodnetwork@gmail.com. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter, the_bro_pod. And yeah, like, review, subscribe, add a comment. Notifications, all that shit. However you get podcasts. however you're listening to this right now, we do appreciate it. So, with that being said, and with that in mind, RIP to OJ. Anyway, we thank you all for listening, and peace.